Pastor Brent Locker.
What fun we are having tonight. Is this good to go, do you think? Should we try it? Oh, good, it is. All right. Well, I got to hear Karina's message on the podcast. So, and it was awesome. Wherever Karina is, oh, she did awesome. I think she's upstairs. There she is. Good job, Karina. And tonight, let me just say one more word before I talk about tonight. On May 9th, that Good News in Song, I'm going to be using bunches and bunches of songs from 50s through the 90s. I think I even have one song in the 2000s. What do you call that? The 2000s. I don't know. 2K. So what I wanted to let you know, just to make it really clear, in case you're not here next week to hear this announced again, is that if you want to hear that night, it's just going to be a blast. Is what it's going to be. We're going to have a great time. But because we're using copyrighted material, we can't put it on podcast. We can't make you DVDs if you aren't here, because that's illegal. So, in other words, you got to be here if you want to experience that. So tonight, I'm going to go along with the theme, what we've been doing for a while. Several weeks back, I talked about grace. In an atmosphere of grace, we have to have confrontation. That was two words that many of you didn't think went together, but it does. And Karina last week really talked a lot about moving through our pain, the courage to move through the pain and to see the victories. Tonight, I want to talk about freedom and responsibility. Again, we're talking about some of these things because we have this atmosphere, this amazing environment of grace, love, acceptance, all the rest. And in order to really help people get to where they need to go, there's also another side of that, which is we have to be able to use those things, the love, the grace, in a way that's going to be honoring to God. And so we're trying to actually teach on some of this. I'm gonna make it fairly short tonight, I think, compared to how I usually preach. If you've not been here, you might say, well, that wasn't very short. But I want to kind of just move through this tonight, because actually I'm looking forward to where this is going to end up, what I saw God doing at the end here. So tonight we're talking about freedom and responsibility. And we're going to start with the book of, or I'm actually going to move through the book of Galatians. When I was on vacation last week in Tahoe, we had an amazing time. For those of you on Facebook, you know I said that I needed a rest from my vacation because we played too hard. You know, I'm not in the shape I was in college, and so we went and we just did all kinds of activities. So my body was pretty beat up. Not hurt, but beat up. But while I was there, I was reading through the book of Galatians and just captured all over again by it. And I've read it this last week in several translations. And so tonight, I'm gonna bring up little parts of Galatians, but I really want to encourage you, if this sparks something in you, go home and read the whole thing, because I'm barely touching on certain aspects of it. And Paul wrote this because of freedom. He wanted to bring freedom back to the people in Galatia. And he had already established churches there when he was out on his missionary journeys. He had taught them about the good news of the grace offered freely to them through trusting what Jesus had done for them, making them right with God. He went across Asia. He excuse me. He stopped at many points to tell them what Jesus had done completely to set them free. And they got it. They were really excited. They got it. But here's what happened. Some Jewish teachers who were Christians, but they were Jewish by heritage, they were infiltrating the Christian churches. They were trying to convince people that they had to go back to keeping the laws, including circumcision, in order to be right with God. If it weren't for Paul and some others, we might still to this day be thinking that that was something we had to do. We had to go back to all the laws and regulations in order to be right with God. I'm telling you, Paul was actually pretty ticked. He was. You read this letter, he's pretty ticked. He's like, don't you dare go back to that. And so he's setting them straight again that the good news is just that. It's really good news. It's good news. So that's what we're going to look at. What's the good news? This comes straight from Galatians. Right at the beginning of the letter, he starts off, grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to liberate us, to free us from this present wicked world. Did you know you are freed? You are liberated from this present wicked world. If some of you are not yet there where you can say, yeah, that's right, I really hope by the end of this message you can agree with that. You are liberated from this world. That's what Jesus came to do. In accordance with the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So right from the start, he's putting it right out there and says, you are free. You are liberated. Don't you dare forget that. Then he says, I'm astonished that you are so promptly turning away from the one who called you in the grace of Christ, and you're going over to a different gospel. As soon as you go back to working or trying to do something in order to be right with God, that's a different gospel. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news anymore. This is the way it says it in a different translation by The Heart of Paul, by Ben Johnson, but it's a Bible translation. He says, you have exchanged good news for bad. What are you doing? That's what he's saying to them. What are you doing? I gave you the good news, and you're turning it into really bad news. Now, this is the next thing he's saying to them. Because I will tell you this. When you hear grace the way it really is, pure grace, I'm telling you, unless you've heard it your whole life, something about it seems not quite right. You're like, I don't know about this. I think you're pulling a fast one on me, and I'm going to get in trouble when I'm at the pearly gates, and I thought it was all about grace, and then I'm going to find out, see, you tricked me. No. Paul, right away, he goes out of his way to say, look, this is the real deal. What I'm telling you about pure grace, Jesus doing it all for you, making you right with God, is the way it is. And this is what he says to him. He says, let me say it clearly. The good news I have been telling you is not human fantasy. He didn't make it up. No human being gave it to me, nor was I taught it. He didn't receive it from any person. I received this message of this pure grace of God's unconditional love from Jesus Christ himself. You know that. It was on the road to Damascus, you know, when Jesus knocked him off his donkey, where he was in a place where he was killing Christians. And Jesus came to him, blinded him, and said, why are you persecuting me? Not my people. He said, why are you persecuting me? Because, see, we're one with Christ. And Paul's eyes were opened spiritually. It took a while for his physical eyes to be opened. But Jesus told him what it was all about. And, of course, this is the resurrected Jesus. Already paid the full price. He's the one that gave Paul the heart-to-heart that we still get today when we're reading the scriptures. It's the real deal. And just to be sure, though, he says, this is it later in chapter 2. He says, instead of discounting my message, they, the apostles, Peter, you know, all the rest of them, affirmed that I have good news for outsiders as Peter does for insiders. What he's saying is this. He's like, just to be sure, even though I know the message because Jesus gave it to me one-to-one, I still took it to the apostles to say, is this right? Is this right? This radical grace, is this the real deal? And they said to him, absolutely, it's the real deal. And you have a call in your life to share this with those outside of the Jewish tradition, just like we have to share it with those who in the Jewish tradition. Okay? It's the real deal. So let's look for a minute at freedom. Okay, this is what he keeps saying. It's freedom that we've been given. All right, here's just a couple of my definitions. You are completely loved and accepted by God. What is freedom? That you are completely loved and accepted by God. That's freedom. When you can get to the place of really agreeing with that, of knowing that's just the way it is, that's freedom. Here's freedom. You are right with God. There's no more performance-based relationship with God. That is freedom. And Paul keeps saying in this letter, guard that. Let me tell you, every one of these things, there's times in your life when you go, well, I know that's true. And then there are other times in your life where that seems to be almost like someone's trying to steal it away. The enemy's trying to come to you and tell you you're not good enough. God doesn't love you. You better do this and this in order to be right. And this is where we got to say, I learned this from Blaine the other day. We got to go like this to the enemy and say, talk to my hand. Talk to my hand. And then you tell yourself the truth. Agreement is so critical. It's so crucial. The only way that you combat the enemy's lies to try to steal your freedom is you've got to say, no, this is the way it is. I'm loved. I'm accepted by God. Jesus made me right with God. That's the way it is. And there's no penalties against me. No penalties against you. Like Domalee's amazing song, Unpunishable. If you've never heard it, you need to. Unpunishable. We are unpunishable. That's freedom if you know these things. That's freedom. So what's not freedom? Freedom is not doing anything you want to and hurting others. You're actually free to if you want to, but that's not genuine freedom. Because you'll find yourself locked up right away in relationships that are really painful. You'll find yourself right back in a prison that you didn't want. Freedom is not controlling others. You don't use your freedom to control everybody around you. That's not freedom for you or for them. Freedom is not putting yourself or others down. That's not freedom. And freedom is not comparing yourself with others. When you compare yourself with others, you always feel like you don't measure up. You always wish you had what that person had. The thing is, like Carla was singing tonight, like we were all singing tonight, we are his miracle. Each one of you, you're his miracle. You are his miracle. He loves the way he made you. He thinks you're amazing. He doesn't want you to be like so-and-so. How boring would that be? A world with a whole bunch of so-and-sos. That is not what he wanted. And he's put certain things in you that nobody else can do just like you. Okay. I want to... God gave me a revelation today. For those of you who are more visual, I'm going to take you back to your childhood. What legalism and bondage and religion, which is the opposite of freedom. Opposite of freedom is legalism, meaning trying to keep all the rules just right. That bondage that keeps you all wrapped up, and we kind of call that religion. This is what it looks like right there. That's first of all what it looks like. People that are bound up in legalism, who are not free, not experiencing the freedom that Christ paid for, they're pretty miserable people. Really. Sometimes they put on a good show, but inwardly, that's kind of how they're looking right there. Religion intimidates people, tries to intimidate people to get them to do what you want them to do. A lot of times, especially those in authority, use rules and laws. This you will do. And they want to take all of your choices away from me and tell you what you have to do. That's what religion looks like. Here's an interesting one. See, already the Grinch he's already made up to be something that he's not. But that's not good enough for him. He wants Max to be something he's not, and he lays something really heavy on him. See, it's all external. But this is what religion does. If you think it's all about rules for you, then you will think it's all about rules for everybody else. And the rules that you have to follow, well, then they sure better follow them, because you're not going to be in misery alone. This is actually where we get that phrase that people think Christians are so judgmental. Where does that come from? Right here. It comes from Christians who think that it's all about keeping rules. If so, they're going to make sure everybody else does. The problem is that nobody can. So, therefore, the next thing you hear is that all Christians are hypocrites. Don't you? The only way out of that, the only way out of judgment and hypocrisy, is to actually receive the good news that Jesus has done it all and let him work in you what you can't do for yourself. So Max had this unbearable load, as you know, that just took him right to the ground, you know, because that's what religion does. It weighs you down with stuff and tries to make you someone that you're not. All external. Here's another one. If I can't have freedom, a religious person will say, then I'm going to make sure you don't have it either. I'm going to steal your freedom. I'm going to take what's yours because I don't want you to have fun. If I can't have fun, you can't have fun. Later on in the book of Galatians, Paul says, look, if I wasn't preaching grace, if I was preaching a cross but not grace, not this radical grace, I would not get condemned for it. People would not come after me and tell me that I'm preaching something false. In other words, he's saying, look, I could have just preached a really simple, easy gospel and told people, go ahead and still work for it, and everyone would have been really happy. The cross is the offense. Do you understand that? It's an offense to us. It doesn't, there's something that doesn't quite connect sometimes. We say that can't be right, and it becomes offensive. What do you mean I can't do it? What do you mean, you know, Jesus did it all? Well, that's the way it is. But if we're not going to enjoy that freedom, this is what religion does. You're not going to have it either. I'm going to steal it from you. And of course, this is where he got caught. But I will just say that, you know, those bound up in religion, they can try to look really good on the outside, but they're not feeling that on the inside. They're feeling pretty miserable, as we already said. So, what does freedom look like? I'll tell you what. When you finally get it, really get it, of what Christ has finished for you on the cross, of the Father's great love for you, of the Holy Spirit who's been given to you to live a life that you couldn't live, what happens is your heart starts getting bigger. When you start taking it in this way, wow, my daddy loves me. Jesus loves me. Not because of performance, not because of what I do, but just because I'm his. Your heart starts getting bigger. You have more and more capacity to receive love. Therefore, you have more and more capacity to give it away. This is what freedom does. Here's something else freedom does. You start glowing. When you know, a lot of times if you see really miserable Christians, I understand we all can go through a hard time or something in life is very painful. We're not always smiling. I understand that. But I'm saying that when you see someone, a Christian, who continually just looks grumpy, I'm telling you, they haven't got it yet. They haven't received the truth yet of the grace and the love. This is what you start looking like when you get it. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, you know. From glory to glory to glory, you start shining with the glory of God. This is what freedom looks like. With freedom, you can do anything. Christ in you can do all things. Nothing is impossible anymore when you get it, when you begin to walk in the freedom of who you are. And then you get to be the one who trumpets the good news. So whereas before you were trying to steal everything, now you get to go down and you get to tell the good news of the really good news of what Jesus has done. And you get to give away the gifts now. You're not going to steal the gifts. You get to give them away. And then here we go at the table. And guess who gets to carve the roast beast? It's what it is. It's roast beast. You have to go back and listen to it. You get to carve the yumminess of God and serve it to people. Because you have tasted and seen that he's good, so now you have something to give away, something that tastes good. And one last thing is that you get to worship with everybody. You're part of the family now. You're no longer an outsider. You're never again excluded. You're always part of the family. That's what freedom looks like. Yeah? So let me just go through a couple scriptures because I want to show you where this is. And this is from the Message Bible. I could read it right there. I'm going to read it right here, though. Galatians 2. I don't often use the Message Bible, but like I said, I read this in several translations. I love them all. But this in particular really comes to life. Galatians 2, 15 and 16. So Paul's talking. He says, we Jews, remember he's Jew by his heritage, who now knows Jesus. He said, we Jews know that we have no advantage of birth over... am I doing the right one? Okay, sorry. Let me read up here. We Jews know very well that we are not set right with God by rule-keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? Because we tried it, and we had the best system of rules the world has ever seen. Convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement, we believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good. So you're really going to have to read this on your own, especially if part of you is scratching your head still and you're not quite sure. You're just going to have to read this until you either agree or don't agree, but it's your choice. It's all here. So it goes on in verse 19 through 21. It goes on to say, what actually took place is this, Paul says. I tried keeping the rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how, and he enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. Wow, how free would the world be if we all could say that? And I am no longer driven to impress God. So he already knows God loves him. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it's lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going back on that. It is not clear. Is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. Let me read that again. If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. In chapter 3, he says, let me put this question to you. This is still the Message Bible. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think that they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? That's the Message Bible. But seriously, read any of them, and they all say that. They all say the same thing, just, you know, a variety of words. And then a couple other verses. I'm going to skip 5 and 6. I'm going to go to 9 through 14. So those now who live by faith are blessed, along with Abraham who lived by faith. So this is no new doctrine. He goes all the way back to Abraham. He says this is the way it's always been. That means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. Ouch. What that's saying is, look, if you're going to go that direction and try to measure up and be good enough, then you better keep every one of, not just the Ten Commandments. That's just the starting block. Hundreds and hundreds of laws. You better keep them all perfectly if that's the game you want to play. But he already tells you ahead of time, you can't win. You can't win that game. The obvious, just try to listen to this, okay? The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. And here we are. We're already up to chapter 5. There's 6 chapters in Galatians. I am taking just little parts of this. There's so much more. God called you to freedom. We just talked about what freedom is. But don't use your freedom to fulfill your appetites with no regard for others. Okay, here we are finally getting to the responsibility part. A lot of people like to go to Galatians 5. And they will use what I'm going to read in just a little bit. What Paul says is your old patterns, your old way of life that's gone. But they will read that and start making laws and rules out of it. That if you want to measure up, this is what you can't do, this is what you must do. And you missed the previous 5 chapters where he said, no, it's not about rules, it's about relationship, it's about trusting what Christ has done for you, period. So here he starts to turn the corner a little bit, though, and says, but there is responsibility. What you do with your freedom is either going to make your life the way that God intended, or you're going to start hurting yourself and other people. So we have to be responsible. Let me keep going. God called you to freedom, but don't use your freedom to fulfill your appetites with no regard for others. Instead, develop deep, loving relationships with each other. You fulfill all the requirements of the rules, the law, when you love each other. If you blame and accuse each other, you will be destroyed rather than built up by each other. So let's talk about responsibility for just a minute. This is a royalty here, a king and a queen. There's a reason why I put this picture up here. First of all, to say responsibility comes from the ability to respond. Responsibility. The ability to respond. So with the Holy Spirit living in us, he gives us the ability to respond correctly. And he tells us, he says, you're an ambassador of Christ. When Jesus came, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything he did displayed the Father. Guess what? The way it truly is when people see us, they've seen Jesus. So that story earlier, wherever Josiah is, it was not so far-fetched. The students would be calling him Jesus. That might sound a little odd to you, but I talked to Josiah about it, and I said, And I asked him, I said, you know, is that something you told them? He goes, no. He didn't tell anyone to call him Jesus, so how did they see that? You are an ambassador of Christ. Now here's the kicker. You are born into nobility. You are a prince, a princess. You are a king and queen, co-laborers with God. But the question is, will you be a good king or queen or a bad one? Because you are one. And if you think about it, like in the litany of kings, you know, listed in Scripture, some were really good and some were really not good. They were really bad. And it had to do with whether they loved God or not, and therefore how they treated the people. So when you love God, and you can't love Him unless you know He loves you, that's why we keep going back to the basics. He adores you. That's how you fall in love with Him. And as you love Him, you're able to be a good king, a good queen. You are going to, this is God's intent for you to go and make a huge difference in all the realms that He has put you, in your workplace, in the school, wherever it is. But you make that difference mostly by loving people. By deciding in your heart, I'm going to be a good king, I'm going to be a good queen. I'm going to take what Jesus has given to me and I'm going to give it away. That's our responsibility. Unfortunately, we can use His authority and power and in very bad ways and hurt people. And a lot of us have had, all of us in this room have made poor choices, and we've had to learn that's not the way of the kingdom. But the good news is He's put His Spirit in us to be able to live this way. He does it for us. All right, so what about those old patterns? This is chapter 5. Boy, another time. Another time. I'm not going to make this long. So another time, I want to talk a whole lot more about this, about Romans chapter 7. And this whole thing of this inward struggle. How come I do what I don't want to do? I don't want to do what I do. Where's this struggle come from? But in Galatians, What it's talking about is these old patterns, and I took this from also from this version of the Bible, from the heart of Paul, and in Galatians 5:17 he says, as you live in union with the Spirit, you will not become imprisoned in old unproductive patterns for getting your needs met. As you live in union with the Spirit. See, we have been set free. Our problem is that we aren't agreeing yet. We don't fully know it. And I want to tell you, if you believe that you have two natures, a new nature in Christ, but your old sin nature is alive and well, if you believe that, then you've absolutely empowered that. That becomes your reality. And it's no wonder we can't get past this thing that seems so real to us. But if you look at it as old patterns, basically habits, bad habits that you learned and you're trying to go back to, I will tell you, you'll never find life there. You can go back there a million times. You'll never find life back in your old patterns, your old habits, because there's no life there anymore. Why? Because that part of you died. It died. If you don't believe me, read it in Colossians 2:11. It says it right there. It says your sin nature was cut out of you. It's gone. That's what it says. But what about this? It says, these unproductive patterns for getting your needs met. For example, sex out of marriage, continuous ambivalent feelings, worship of the temporal, the here and now, trying to manipulate the supernatural, that's actually sorcery, rebellious reactions, childish expressions of your wants, wishing to be somebody else, wiping others out, wiping yourself out with alcohol, drugs, or partying. Those who keep living in these old patterns have not gotten in union with the source of life and thus will not enter God's domain. Many will read this scripture and think that if you do any of those things, you're not going to heaven. That's how many Christians will read this passage. It says you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what it's saying is when you go back to your old ways that have died with Christ, when you go back there, then then the life is sapped out of you. You're no longer living who you are. And certainly in those moments when you're over here, you know, living in ways that are not you anymore, there's no life. So in that place, that's not where God's kingdom is. There's no kingdom life there. But if you will see this, that it's old patterns, this is so important for you to understand this. It's not your sin nature that's still kicking around. And I promise you, I will unpack this a whole lot more another time. So how do you get victory over these old patterns? First, you really have to agree that your old man, your sin nature, is dead and gone. Y'all awake? I know it's getting later, but are y'all awake? You have to agree. If you do not agree with this, if you believe your old sin man is alive and well, then for you, that becomes your reality. That's the horrible thing not the horrible thing, it's the way God set it up about believing. He says faith is the currency of heaven. So what you believe in, that's what you empower. So if you want to believe that your sin nature is alive and well, then you're going to have a lot more overcoming to do. In fact, it's going to be downright impossible if you believe that your sin nature is still alive and well, because you're agreeing with the wrong thing. It's gone. The scriptures are up there. You can read them later. You have to boast in the cross and fall deeper in love with Jesus. He did it all. That's all we can do left. That's all we have left to do. Jesus. That's why we spent so much time worshiping. That's why we're in no hurry to move on from worship. Why? Why? He did it all. He gets it all. Jesus gets it all. He finished the whole thing for you. You boast in the cross. Paul says, I'm not going to boast in what I've done or haven't done. He's the past is behind. He says, man, I'm going to boast in Jesus. I'm going to press on toward the goal. I'm going to boast in my Savior. He did it all. Here's another one. Walk in the Spirit. This is how you have victory over the old patterns, the old sin things that you don't want in your life. You agree. Your old man is dead, 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 dead. You're boasting, Jesus, you did this for me. You already set me free. And you're worshiping Him. You're praising Him. And then you're saying, Holy Spirit, I want to walk with You because You are my victory. You are God inside of me who's going to do for me what I can't do. So Holy Spirit, I'm going to yield to You. I'm going to agree with what You say. He's the most brilliant counselor in the world. Why don't You just agree with Him? Enjoy Him. Enjoy the Holy Spirit. Enjoy Him and listen to Him. There's a whole lot more I could say, but walking in the Spirit. And the last one is don't get discouraged. God will finish what He started in you. Let me just read this in Galatians. Because Paul... There we go. Because, again, Paul just said to these Christians, this is your freedom, enjoy it, don't let anyone take it away. But he says, I know it's not an instant deal. You're going to have to learn how to walk this thing out. You're going to have to learn how to agree with the Spirit of God that's in you and what Christ has done for you. So he says, don't become depressed or discouraged by the anxiety you experience in developing new and positive ways of expressing your being. You will eventually come to maturity if you don't quit the task. This is a process, and God knows that. He knows it. Every single person in this room, we all have this in common, that we are all working through this process of knowing who we are in Christ. We all blow it. We all still fall. Every single person in this room. We're all the same. But He says, get up. Come on. Okay, come on. It may take you every time you fall, when you think that God is so disgusted with you, that is not the truth. It's not the truth. You're actually closer than you were before to realizing who you are, because you know that this thing isn't you. This thing that you're disgusted with, that you think He hates you for, which is not true, but you're one step closer to saying, that's not who I am anymore. That person has died. And then we begin to live in this covenant love where we say, I'm in this for your best. And the more we live that with everyone, whether it's our spouse, our children, co-workers, students, whatever, the more we live this out, walk this out, I'm in this for your best, we start living in this victory instead. And we say, God, everything you've done for me, I'm going to give it away. That's what we're going to do. Life in the Spirit. This is the good side now. He said that the old patterns, here's what you're after. Those living through God's Spirit are characterized by love, joy, unity, or peace, patience, tenderness, caring, trust, true self-esteem, and self-control in all their relationships. That's what it looks like. This is what life in the Spirit looks like. This is normal for you. This is normal. Everything else is abnormal for you. So may God help me. This is like his kicker at the very end. May God help me to take pride only in what he did for me through Christ on the cross. Through him, I am finished with my self-justifying ways of living, and I am searching for a style of life consistent with who I really am. In this new style, I say again, external rituals are worthless. All that matters is being the new person you really are. That again is from the heart of Paul. I highly encourage you to get this rendition. There's a lot of great translations, but again, go back and read this yourself. It's so good. It's so thorough. He didn't want anyone to be mistaken anymore about who we are in Christ, our freedom. Well, in one moment, we're either going to... I'm going to actually have you stand right now. Would you stand? This right there is a freedom train. And if we have sound in just a minute, we're all going to sing a song by Kent Henry called The Freedom Train. So we'll see. We'll see if this is going to happen or not. Get on the freedom train. No, we don't have it. It would already be playing right now. Not with me. Oh, it's on my. No, it's still have to go through the computer, so that wouldn't work. Well, since you're all standing. Freedom to love God and receive his love. Freedom to love and accept and forgive yourself. And freedom to love and accept and forgive others. That's the freedom train. That's the freedom we have been given in Christ. So, I had all the lyrics. You want to see them? They're really good. Actually, we'll read just a little bit of it. So get on the freedom train, get on the freedom train, get on the freedom train. You know it's not a strain, not in Jesus' name. Come on, get in Jesus. Come on in Jesus' name. Get on the freedom train, get on the freedom train. Come on and ride it free. No more anxiety. Well, I'm set free and you're set free, living in liberty. So get on that freedom train. Jump up and shout, yell it on out, I'm on the freedom train. Wherever we go, let everyone know that I'm on the Jesus train. There's a whole lot more verses to it, but I'll stop right there. That's kind of the chorus. Jump up and shout. Well, this is what I saw tonight. This is what I saw in the Spirit. I'm just going to start here because earlier today when I was praying for this time, I literally saw a little rain, not a cloud, but actual rain, little deluge of rain coming down on each one of you. And so I'm going to just declare that right now because many of you need that refreshing. This is the reign of God's love, his acceptance, his approval. And I'm asking Holy Spirit and with your angels that you would literally douse every single person here with rain, 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 rain in Jesus' name. the freedom reign on every single one of you, washing you, cleansing you, restoring you, setting you free, setting you free. And the Lord says to you, you are washed, you are cleansed. My son did it for you. My son did it for you. You are washed. You are clean. You are pure. And this wasn't one big cloud. It's like you each had your own, every single one of you. And the other thing God told me was it was not for this building. That rain cloud is going with you. It's going with you to keep cleansing, keep washing you with the truth that sets you free. That you are loved, you are loved, you are wanted, you are accepted, you are cleansed, you are His. You belong. You belong. You belong. God has good plans for your life, really good plans. He has not forgotten you. He knows what He's doing. He's a good Father. He's cleansing you, cleansing you, cleansing you of the lies that have come against you, the things, other things that you've heard that do not match with what He just said to you. He's cleansing you from those things. And he says to each one of you, I wrote this in the email this last week, but I want to say it again. He says to each one of you, you are my success story. You are my success story, and I am not finished with you yet. I haven't finished writing the book of your life yet. You are my success story. It's not over. Just watch what I do. Just watch what I do. I'm the God of the impossible. I will turn things around for you. And some of you are feeling like such failures, and God says, no, 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 no. That is not my heart for you. You are not my failure. You are my success story. Yes, God. More, Lord. Just pour out the encouragement. Father, I break off every bit of discouragement and despair and depression in Jesus' name. I break it off. Lord, would you just release your angels, literally, to cut off every bit of depression, discouragement, despair off of this room, off of every person in this room. And God says to you, I that's not who you are. That's not who you are. I want you radiant as my bride. You're radiant. So I will knock off the things that do not belong to you. I will knock off the lies so that you can rise up as my victorious, beautiful bride. Because you got some people to love. I have some people out there I need you to love. But you can't love them unless you really know my heart for you. And you know, Jesus says, you know, the Bible says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, that Paul himself, who wrote these things, is part of that cloud. And Jesus says, he says, you know, those words were the ones I gave to Paul. I gave them to him. And I even put it in writing so that you would always know the truth of what I finished and accomplished for you. So the striving is done. It's over. You can't earn what you already have. You cannot earn what you already have. I won't let you. Matthew 11 in the Message Bible. Jesus now spoke tenderly. The Father has given me all these things. He says, this is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And Jesus says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Freely and lightly. So I declare that over you, that what Jesus has intended for you is free and light living. I declare that freedom over you and the lightness over you, that Jesus would take from you all the heaviness, the weights, the things that the enemy has tried to pin on you. And Jesus says, no, that's not for you. That doesn't fit you. But he says, I fit you. Be clothed with me. And I am love and I am grace. Now I'm the one that clothes you with life and light and truth. Thank you, Lord. Okay. One last thing I want to do. Okay. This may not be for everyone in the room, and that's totally okay. But I want us to make a freedom tunnel. Which is similar to a fire tunnel, only in that it's about freedom. And I would like to ask those of you who've graduates or current Kingdom Training people to come on up, which may be a whole bunch of you, but that's okay. If you want to, and make a tunnel. For the rest of you who would desire to do this, this is what we're doing. Often there are prophetic acts, which is God saying, I want you to do something to walk into this. Do something so that it's more real to you. And so what we're going to have you do, for those who want to in a minute, we're going to have you come on through this tunnel, and we're going to declare God's freedom, and you're going to agree with that freedom as you come through this tunnel. And I know for some of you who have been discouraged, for some of you who have been feeling extra weight, you've been wanting freedom, I'm telling you, make a step, walk through this thing, and let God do it supernaturally. Because the point is, you can't, because you already tried. So this is your agreement with God to say, God, would you do this for me? All right? So Jim, go ahead and start up the music, and we're going to invite you on through this way. Just come on through if you want to come through the freedom tunnel. Declare freedom over her. Freedom.
And how many know what the message was this whole weekend? Come up higher. How many ready to come up a little higher tonight?
Okay, you got to keep walking through the tunnel. You got to keep going.
Oh, take me higher, Lord.